Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of Sovereign Grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me this morning to John chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 25. Our Lord says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." In verse 28, he says, "Marvel not at this. Marvel not at this. Marvel not that the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Marvel not at this. Marvel not that the Lord hath been given all authority to execute judgment, because he's the Son of Man. Marvel not at this." He says in verse 28, "For the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." You know, we don't enter into the amazement of that. We just don't enter into it. We think, well, there's a body there, and he'll send a soul back to it, and it'll rise from the ground. But the Lord said, "From dust you came, and to dust you'll return." Bodies that have been there for thousands of years are not there anymore. They've gone back to the dust. They're just elements in the ground. That's all they are now. And our God has the ability to bring all those elements back together, to bring all those individual dust particles back together that went to that body. And he can put life in it again. What an amazing wonder that is, the wonder of our God. And after he does that, he has the wisdom and the knowledge to know every soul's case individually and judge them accordingly. What a God we have, the all-knowing God. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 says, When he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. What a God we have. When he arose, many of the saints which slept arose with him after his resurrection. And they went into town and appeared unto many. Oh, the power of his resurrection. Well, back over in our text in John chapter 5, verse 28 says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Those that have done good are going to be resurrected to eternal life, and those that have done evil are going to be resurrected to damnation. Now, I want life. I desire eternal life. I don't want to be resurrected to damnation. I want to be resurrected to life. But here's my problem. Here is my problem. I know, and you know, that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Not one. I know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know that. I know that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There is no good in me. There is none good but God. None. So what is he talking about right here? What does this good mean unto life? Well, he just told us the answer in the previous verses. Look at verse 23. Our Lord said that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This is the good he's talking about. All that are in the graves are going to come forth. And all those who honored the Son and heard his word and believed on him are going to be resurrected unto life. All those who did not honor the Son and would not hear his word and did not believe on him are going to be resurrected unto damnation. Now, somebody's going to hear that, and they're going to say, well, you're preaching works now. I thought you preached grace. You're preaching works now. No, I'm not. Listen very carefully to what this text says. I'm preaching the Word of God. Now, here's our question this morning. Must a person believe in order to be saved? Must a person believe in order to be saved? Well, let's search the Scripture and find out. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. And that word substance means confidence. It's the confidence. And it's the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of the work that God has done that we can't see with our eyes. That's what faith is. It's the confidence and it's the evidence. All right, now our text said, all that have done good. We know that there's none that doeth good. But according to God, according to what he said, according to what we read, he wrote it in his book. According to God, they must have a good report. They must have a good record to enter into eternal life. How does a person get a good report? Well, look here at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. It says, "For by it," that's by faith, "the elders obtained a good report." It's by God-given faith. That's how. Look at verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh." In order to appease an angry God who is going to punish sin, he is going to punish sin. And in order to appease an angry God, a sacrifice must be made. A sacrifice must be made. Did you make it? Did I make it? No. Christ made it. Now, how is it applied to my account? If I didn't make it, and if Christ made it, how is it applied to my account? Well, how is it applied to Abel's account? How did Abel offer it to God on the behalf of his sin? How do I offer it to God on behalf of my sin? By faith. By faith. How did Enoch get into heaven? Look right here in Hebrews 11, verse 5. It says, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." He pleased God. Must a person believe this gospel in order to be saved? Because our text says, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the God, the actual God, the God that cannot lie, said, whoever has done good in God's eyes will receive the resurrection of life. And whoever has done evil in God's eyes will receive the resurrection of damnation. Must a person have faith in order to be saved? A person is going to say, man, you are preaching works now. No, I'm not. Whose faith is it? Whose faith is it? Ephesians 2:8 says it's not of yourself. It's not my faith. I don't produce it. I don't reach down and dig it up. It does not come from me. Whose faith is it? Well, it's not of yourself. It's not of myself. Where does it come from? It's a gift of God. It's God's faith. It's a gift of God. So who gets the glory for it? God does. I don't. I don't get the glory for my faith. I can't take credit for that work. It's a work, but it's His work. Must a person have it? Must a person believe in order to be saved? Well, look right here at Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Must. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Must. Verse 7 right here. How was Noah saved? It says, by faith. Verse 8. How did Abraham obey God? By faith. Verse 11. How did Sarah conceive? Through faith. Verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They're seeking life. They that say such things declare plainly that God has done something to them. God has given something to them. God has performed an operation in them. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, and he said unto them, our Lord said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel. There's only one. There is only one truth. And it's the gospel. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth, we just saw that believing is a gift of God, and is baptized, that's the work of God. That's the work of God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit takes a sinner and baptizes. That means immerse. God's Holy Spirit takes a sinner and immerses him in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is. And then a person just confesses that in water. Water is not salvation. Water is confession. It's the evidence. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the work of taking the sinner and immersing that sinner into Jesus Christ. And that says, he that receives the gift of God and the work of God shall be saved. But it says, he that believeth not shall be damned. Now turn with me over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11 says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to call if they haven't believed? And how are they going to believe if they haven't heard? How are they going to hear without a preacher? Verse 15 says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing is the gift of God. If God gives a sinner spiritual ears, and if he opens those ears, and if he causes those ears to hear, every bit of that is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. Hearing is a gift of God. It's all a gift of God. Every bit of it is a gift of God. Somebody might say, well, wait a minute. By grace are you saved. And that happened eternally from the foundation of the world. That's right. That's exactly right. Amen. Well, then let's throw faith out the window. No. That's not what God said. I can't not believe something in order to understand something else. If I don't understand it, I don't understand it. But I must believe everything that God has said. I must believe everything that God has said. By grace are you saved. It is all the gift of God. That's what grace means. But how does that gift come to us? Through faith. Through faith. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 says, Wherefore I say unto you, this is our Lord speaking, he says, Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. The Holy Ghost is the one who causes a person to believe. That's unbelief that he's talking about. He said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, that's unbelief, shall not be forgiven unto men. Verse 32 says, And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Two people walk up to a tree with leaves on it. One says, That's an apple tree. The other one says, No, it's not. That's an orange tree. How will they know? How are they going to know, really? How will it be settled? How's it going to be confirmed? You'll know by its fruit. The fruit is the evidence. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the fruit. Look with me at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 8 says, Also I say unto you, Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. It's the fruit. Back over to our text, John chapter 5, verse 23, our Lord says, All men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verse 28 says, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. Our Lord just gave Himself as the example of what He just said. He said, I trust Him. I look to Him. I wait on Him. I believe Him. Verse 31, He said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Any man or woman who goes through this life witnessing of himself, witnessing of his works, well, this is what I've done in order to be saved. This is what I've done for God. That's witnessing of himself. Any man or woman who goes through this life witnessing of himself, and anything other than grace is self, but his witness is not true. His witness is not true. His works for salvation are not true. And he has done evil. And he's going to be resurrected to damnation. But any man or woman who goes through this life with the witness of Christ, 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 not just in word only, but in life, witnessing Christ, it's all about Christ. Christ did it all. Christ paid it all. Christ did the work. Christ is my salvation. Christ is all. Christ is all I need. Christ is all my hope. If any man or woman witnesses that, his witness is true. And he's going to be resurrected unto life. Resurrected unto life. Any man who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's not a work. That man says, Christ gave me the faith. Christ put His Spirit in me and caused me to believe. Christ is the author of my faith. Christ is the finisher of my faith. My only hope and my only plea is Christ. That man's going to be resurrected unto life. There's none good but God. Christ is God. Let's all say with the apostles, just like the apostles said, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our gift. Would you give more of the Spirit of the Son of God to us? More love to Thee, O God. Cause us to trust You more. Cause us to look to You more. Increase our faith. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His Word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message, or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.